Welcome to the Inside Pass, News 24's daily dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. My name is Lloyd Bernard. Joining me in studio today in Cape Town is Herman Mostert. And the wait is finally over. Tonight at 9:15, 80,000 people crammed inside the Stade de France will watch on as hosts France take on the All Blacks in a tournament opener that is worthy of a final. It's Rugby World Cup 2023. The French believe this is finally their year. In fact, many teams believe this is finally their year. Many consider this to be the most open World Cup in history. The Springboks, meanwhile, open their account on Sunday in Marseille against Scotland. We'll be crossing live to Kaniso Chwaku, who is on the ground for News 24 and doing a sterling job, by the way, of covering the box in Toulon, where they are preparing. But Herman, welcome. Your views on the first game. It's about as big as it gets. Has there ever been a bigger match to open a Rugby World Cup?
Morning. Thanks, Lloyd. Yes, obviously a massive, massive opening game. It could almost be, many people could argue, a dress rehearsal for what the final would be, although South Africans wouldn't like to hear that, but it could be. This almost reminds me of the 1995 opening match when South Africa played against Australia at Newlands, when Australia were massive favourites and obviously world champions, defending champions. They were world number one. They were unbeaten for a year before that game, and then we upset them at Newlands. So this is pretty much similar to that almost. France looking really strong in the last year. They beat New Zealand a couple of years ago in Paris. And, you know, the All Blacks obviously coming off a big defeat to South Africa, so they'll be looking to make amends, no doubt.
We were both very young, Herman, when the Springboks beat the Wallabies at Newlands that day. But it was a famous day and not such a great day for France the last time they hosted the opening game of a Rugby World Cup. Tell us about that one.
Yes, obviously 2007, the last time France hosted the World Cup, which South Africa ended up winning. The opening game, they lost to Argentina, which was quite a massive upset back then. Argentina were a team on the rise, but they weren't, you know, as strong. It was before the days of them playing in the rugby championship. It was still the old Tri Nations before that. So, and they made a massive statement with Augustin Pichot, their captain, and they beat France, and that sort of set the cat amongst the pigeons for that whole world. It was a World Cup of upsets. France ended up losing to Argentina again in the bronze medal match. And obviously South Africa were the team that knocked Argentina out in the semi-finals. So I wouldn't say a French loss tonight would be as big an upset as that one was. But yeah, it's certainly a massive occasion again.
Yeah, this one's very difficult to call. You know, I've been looking at the Super Group picks all week and chatting to people, and it really does seem split down the middle. The All Blacks, I guess, just that side that can always, you know, turn it on and hurt anyone in the world when they get it right. And they generally do, even if you do factor in the 35-7 loss against the Springboks in their last outing. Herman, what are your thoughts? Is there someone emerging as a slight favourite for you here? Are you going France because they're the host nation, or are you backing the All Blacks just because of the legacy and you know, what because of what they can do and have done at World Cups before?
Yeah, look, I'm slightly favouring the All Blacks. The All Blacks are a team that normally responds very well when they take a hammering. And they took a massive beating against the Springboks, the biggest loss in their history. They're gonna be wanting to respond to that. If you remember last year, the Box beat them quite comfortably in Nelspruit 2016. And then the next week, everyone wrote them off. And then they ended up beating the Box at Ellis Park. So the All Blacks are a very dangerous side when they have just lost the game, and especially in the manner in which they've lost. You know, they're still a quality team. They've had a good year so far. France, historically speaking, you know, they're a team that actually struggles when the expectations are really high. And I think tonight, obviously, 80,000 people at the Stade de France, most are expecting them to win. That was the case way back in 07 when they lost to Argentina, that game. So I've got a slight feeling that the you know, the expectations might, the whole sense of the occasion might just get to the French, and you know, the All Blacks, not that they're underdogs, but probably going in a little bit more under the radar than many people would have expected, would probably, I wouldn't be surprised if the All Blacks actually sneak the game. It's going to be close, but yeah, I would put my money on the All Blacks, but it could go either way.
Let's just briefly, before we cross to trucks in Toulon, speak about South Africa. I mean, that's the blockbuster fixture for us on Sunday, 9:15 in Marseille against Scotland. A bit of a banana peel game for South Africa in the sense that, you know, Scotland are number 5 in the world and very capable of beating anyone on their day. But just broadly speaking, do you like what you're seeing from South Africa in terms of the makeup of that team, in terms of where they are at the moment? Are you confident that they'll go into that game and get the job done as they should with the players they have?
Yeah, look, I just think they're going to be too strong for Scotland up front. We saw what they did to the All Blacks. There's a certain template that the box play at, and everyone knows what they're going to bring and what they're going to do, and it's very tough to stop. You know, our scrum, I think, is going to be too strong for Scotland. If you look through from 1 through to 8, we've just a more powerful pack, and we've got 6 reserves that we can bring on who are... All 6 of those players might as well have been in the starting lineup as well. And we saw against New Zealand when the box brought on 7 forwards at the same time, you would have thought that it would have disrupted them. It didn't. You know, they just kept on pummeling the All Blacks up front. And, you know, generally history, if you look at history, the Springboks, they've lost against Scotland the odd occasion here and there, but that was in an era or eras where the box didn't have the strongest team. And at the moment they have a really strong side. You know, they're a well-drilled outfit, and if they do what they normally do and they do the basics well of that, then I can't see Scotland really stopping them, to be honest.
We're going to cross now to Kaniso Tshwaku, who's been doing a sterling job for News 24 Sport in Toulon all week. He's been there for about a week building up to this game. He'll be there for the duration of the Springboks' Rugby World Cup charge in France. Trucks, good morning. Are you with us?
Good morning, guys. Yes, and good morning from Toulon.
I see you've picked up a French accent already, which is good to know. Trucks, how are things? Tell us what's going on. We've heard a lot about the weather. Give us a sense of what the Springbok base in Toulon is like.
The long and short of it is that the they get the hotel Grand Grand Sublet, which is a curio collection hotel owned by the Hilton. It's a very nice hotel. It's got a sauna, it's got a small gym. It's everything that the box would want and need from a base. One, please remember that the box, after the Marseille game on Sunday, they are staying at the base until Wednesday when they transfer to Bordeaux. And then they'll go for Bordeaux, they'll go to Paris, and Paris back here. The caveat is that should they win and proceed to the quarterfinals, they're actually going to stay in Toulon, I think about 3 to 2 days before the quarterfinal in Paris, and only then transfer to Paris. So I think that tells you how much they actually enjoy this particular, I won't call it a hamlet, it's actually a very busy and industrial navy town. So the box are trading at the Mayo, which is actually just a walk away from where I'm staying at the moment. They also sometimes train at the Toulon Rugby campus, which is about 6 kilometers north from here. It's a state of the art campus. The one about wide field, but the field is in mint condition. The place is absolutely magnificent. That campus, the pity that when you were there, you didn't have enough time to stay before. We arrived mentioned during the box session, but from the facilities that they've got here are absolutely world class. It kind of makes sense as to why they want to stay here. The weather here feels a lot like Durban, so the players did use that weekend course to adapt to the conditions there. They've actually found ways of actually enjoying and actually playing living here. But I mean, as we're leaving the box, the box press conference, this morning, the players have the day off. I mean, I bumped into Billy dressed up. I'm in golf. He actually did ask him. I mean, he's going to play a round of golf, and he said it could be part of his plan. So they've got a lot to do in terms of recreation activities here. From a playing perspective, the match day 23. One surprise I kind of picked up was whether the reasoning behind why Jasper Visser started ahead of Dwayne Femele. As I looked in and I listened to the press conference, it kind of dawned to me that the box wants to start strong and finish strong. They've been guilty, regardless of the fact that they've always picked a strong bench. They've been guilty at times of switching off, especially between the 51st and the 65th minutes. And that's when a team like Scotland in particular tends to find it. If you look at the front game that they won, when teams had yellow cards and early red cards, they found a gap within that second last period where they got a foothold in the game and they did not relinquish it. I think what we've seen here from the box, they showed us a lot of pictures in terms of how they want to play in with some inventiveness after tour last year. But I think the key with Sunday's game is that they want to win this game by all means possible. If they need to grind it out, they'll grind it out. If they'll start it out, they start it out. All they want to do is to win. How they go about that business, I don't think it's something that they're concerned about at the moment.
Mm. And Trucks, just give us a sense of what the training sessions have been like. I mean, has it been a case of, you know, quite a jovial atmosphere, or has it been very noticeably intense? I mean, are these guys zoned in fully? Is it a serious atmosphere or kind of a fun-loving atmosphere at training at the moment?
Well, they start off in the jovial, and then they understand it getting intense. Remember that we haven't been able to go into the press conferences in particular. I mean, the training in particular, we just seen that 15 minutes. In that 15 minutes, they're pretty jovial. They go to warm-ups, they joke around, they kick around. However, there was a dry line-out run that Marvin Ori was running. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that will be applied. I mean, again, because remember that a lot of the box players, those aren't playing, they still form a very crucial part of the team's coaching setup, because they are the ones who read the pictures of their position and then try them out in the game. But as you were leaving the RTC campus on Tuesday, where the field is actually blacked out, so when you from outside you can't see, they were absolutely having a go, like a proper physical go at each other. So look, I mean, Scotland firstly will have to make sure that they are actually holding their fort as well as they can, because I think the box, the one thing that they are showing, a picture that they're showing, is that they're not going to be compromised on their physicality. They pick the team early and clean the team early. Jacques Laba, the Singapore coach, did explain that they want to make sure that they get the stipulation and the tenseness of picking a team out of the way. However, though, they're also giving the opposition a time to figure it out, to figure out how they're going to approach the game. But also, the box is actually sending a very clear message. Here's our team. Do what you need to do. We'll do what you need to do. Let's see if you're going to be. Let's see if we're our fire. Let's see if your water is going to be strong enough to actually quench our fire. So I think the box are very clear with what they want to do. They don't want to change how they do things on a week-to-week basis, even though it is a World Cup where things are done slightly differently.
Kanyiso, I'd just like to come in there. You've obviously been at all the training sessions this week. A player that has been a big talking point leading up to the game and obviously had a massive game against New Zealand was Kanan Moody. He was unfortunately not picked because he's got a slight hamstring niggle, but how serious do you think the injury is? You know, has he been running around in training, or do you think it's maybe just a precaution that he was left out of this weekend's squad?
He has run around in training. Yesterday in particular, I actually had a video of him when he was doing his warm-up drills with the same thing applicable for Tuesday. What I did notice was that it was yesterday that his left hamstring was stressed up quite significantly. One of the things that as a precaution, because the same isn't applicable to a Jean-Claude with his right knee, was also stressed up. So Jacques did explain that because these players didn't train fully last week, it made them ineligible for selection. But he did say that they were both at 95 to 98% fitness. So depending on the results, obviously, that they will probably be up for contention for the Romania game and for Doha next week. One would also need to understand that how the box teams, the makeup of the box team will shape up, will be determined by this result, because it's very clear that should they win and they win against Scotland, I think injuries dependent. The changes will be made, wholesale changes will be made to ensure that every member of the 33 does get at least 50 to 55 minutes in front of full game. I mean, Elias Neyman made it this point out yesterday in his press conference that the game that he played against Wales was the first 80-minute game he played for the Springboks since the Canada game in Kobe in the 2019 World Cup. So I think what the box management has done very well is to manage the amount of time the guys have. I think the key part now is to make sure that they get through Sunday's game. Hopefully they get to Sunday's game without any injuries and then make it obviously get the win. And then that will influence the next for the next game. And remember that guy is rocking up and rocking up. He's on scale of making wholesale changes. Remember that they made 13 of them For the Wales test last year in Bloemfontein after winning in Pretoria. And remember that there were players from that particular test, like a Kirsty Arons, for example, who's now part of the World Cup setup. So they're not scared of making particular changes in the box, who want to make sure that they get through this game and also make sure that their depth will take them through a key game. Because I think once, if they get to the first two games unscathed and meeting Ireland, I think regardless of what happens in Ireland, they could and should be probably assured of a quarterfinal spot. But I think that once they get through the Scotland game, they will play Ireland, they will play Romania with what would be a much changed side. And then a mix and match from those two teams, from those two fixtures, will then front up for the Ireland game, which probably will be the box pick their strongest side.
Trucks, thank you for taking the time. We know you're very busy on the ground over there, and we'll let you get back to your work. Thank you for the stories. Keep them coming. The readers are loving them. We are loving them. Fantastic to have your insights coming in from Toulon. Hammond, very interesting there to talking about Kane and Moody. I mean, do you think he would have, a guy with so much hype surrounding him at the moment and clearly such a very gifted young player, without this injury for you, do you think he would have, you know, snuck into that number 13 jersey ahead of Jesse Creel for this one?
Geez, the way he played against New Zealand, I would have picked him at least in the squad. But then obviously you've got six forwards on the bench and only two backline players, and you always pick a scrum off, which is Grant Williams, who can cover a wing as well. And then it would have been a toss up maybe between Moody and Willie LaRue. So it's tough to leave Willie LaRue out as well, because, I mean, he's very experienced. But then I think on form, Jesse Creel's really played well the chances he's had this season. He played really well in the Wales game in Cardiff. But Moody was really impressed against New Zealand. You know, it was a performance against the All Blacks, and it was a record score. It's tough to leave a guy out completely. So it would have been a very tough call to make if he was 100% fit to play. But I would think that Moody would probably have been there if he was 100% fit. And you could probably, for maybe not the Romania game, but for the match against Ireland, he would definitely be in the mix, I would think.
Good to hear from Trucks that Kane and Moody is running around at training, suggesting that, you know, this isn't an injury that's going to keep him out for much longer than this week or so. I have no doubt that we'll be seeing him playing in that jersey, or at least off the bench at some point in the tournament. Hammond, if you look at just briefly to the other fixtures this weekend, what else catches your eye? I mean, there's matches. I think there are four matches on Saturday, four on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Some Minnow sides in there as well, but also some very, very tasty fixtures. What else catches your eye?
Yeah, look, maybe it's to start with the Minnows, a little bit of a Minnows, but it's a bit of a South African flavour, if you can call it that. Namibia playing Italy at 1 o'clock this on Saturday afternoon, with obviously Alistair Kutsia, the former Springbok coach, who's there. And there's a few players in the Namibian team that have played in the Currie Cup here in South Africa. So that's something that will catch the eye. But the big other match of the weekend is no doubt England-Argentina at 9 o'clock on Saturday evening. It's also in Marseille, the same ground where the box play on Sunday. And obviously England, they've been horrendous, to put it mildly, in their build-up towards the World Cup. I mean, losing at home to Fiji is not what the doctor ordered in terms of their preparation. They've obviously got a new coach with Eddie Jones leaving earlier this year. So Argentina will be smarting. You know, they would really fancy themselves to maybe... It wouldn't be an upset if Argentina were to win, but so I think it's definitely a match that most people would probably be looking forward to. Wales play Fiji after the Bok game on Sunday evening, which is another potential banana peel for Wales. They haven't looked that impressive in the build-up as well. So, maybe we could already see an upset or two on the first weekend already.
Another one I'm looking particularly forward to, Australia taking on Georgia at 6 o'clock on Saturday. Might be a huge call, but a potential little shot at an upset in that one. Hammond, thank you very much for taking the time. We'll be back on Monday morning to look back. The Springboks, of course, play on Sunday. And we'll be here on the Inside Pass, News24's dedicated daily Rugby World Cup podcast, to look back at that and how the Springboks open their 2023 Rugby World Cup campaign. Goodbye and all the best. Cheers.